Barbara Scully and Declan Buckley. Join us once again. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. We're here.
First question is very short, very pithy. I'm so sad and lonely going through a divorce in my 60s. Any tips, please?
Gosh, I think this is probably the shortest plea for help we've ever gotten. But yeah, first thing, I'm sorry to hear that. And I'm assuming if you're in your 60s, and I may be wrong, but I'm assuming you were married perhaps for a long time. And so that's hard. But even if you weren't married for a long time, it's still very hard. And I was only talking about this to my kids the other day, you know, about how all of us in your life at some point, I think, will end up with life smacking you in the gob in a way that you end up facing into a completely different direction than you always thought you were going to be facing in. So you kind of think your life is going to go along in that particular manner, and suddenly something happens, and it can be a divorce, it can be the death, it can be a car accident, it can be a million things. And suddenly you're left facing in a completely different direction to the one that you thought you were going to be going in. And that's very hard to come to terms with. But before I think you look at trying to come to terms with that, I think that, with a divorce, it's OK to be sad and lonely. And you're probably going to be sad and lonely for a little bit of time. So the first thing I would say to you, the first tip I would give you, is to give yourself time and to be kind to yourself. You're going through something that's difficult, and that is obviously painful, and there will be a degree of grieving involved. So it's OK to feel bad, and it's OK to feel sad, and allow yourself that time. But in time you will start to feel a little bit like, you know, that you need to take a little bit more control. And perhaps, again, as I say, to go back to the thing about you're now facing perhaps into a different future than the one you'd always imagined for yourself. And although that's hard because it means you've got to, if you like, reimagine your future, you've got to dream different dreams. There is, and you won't feel this for a while, but there is going to be undoubtedly a certain freedom in being able to, you know, map out your own course for the rest of your life, perhaps independently and on your own, without having to take into account somebody else's feelings or needs or wants or desires or anything else. So that you will in time feel, I would imagine, a certain degree of kind of maybe enthusiasm is too big a word about that. In the meantime, I hope you've friends. I don't know if you're a man or a woman. I kind of felt you were a woman, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But either way, I hope you've got some friends, because friends can help. And I would also always be open to making new friends, because, again, I think, you know, if a lot of your friends knew you when you were part of a couple and now you're no longer part of a couple, you might find that a little awkward, and they might find it a little awkward. Always be open to making new friends. And I think one of the great things I think about Ireland, particularly if you're living in a city, and I guess particularly if you're living in Dublin, is that there's always loads of things on that you can go to. Now, it's very hard if you've always gone out as part of a couple or with somebody else to do things on your own, but it is possible. You know, we've got great theatres, we've got lots of festivals, you've got lots of talks and interesting things that you can go along to, you know, which you will, when you feel a little stronger, you will be able to do. And through that, you might make new friendness. You might make new friends. But in the meantime, give yourself a little time. The loneliness will, I guess, lose its sharpness, and the sadness will probably seep away a little bit slowly in time, and you will be all right.
Yeah, it's that. I think it's the transition phase between the old life and the new life. Mm. The old life is the known, the new life is the unknown, and you know, it's scary and sad and lonely. Taking time is, which I agree with you about that, just for yourself in the first instances. I don't know how long, at what stage this divorce is, and whether it's a recent thing or whether it's something that happened a few years ago. But I mean, it's hard because life is difficult, and as you get older it gets more likely that it's difficult and it's lonely. And
I don't think it's always more difficult, me being way older than you, but I don't think it necessarily gets more difficult.
I suppose what I mean is that it's more likely that you'd be dealing with bereavements or illnesses, yes, or you know, or the quirky twists of fate that put you in a situation where your life didn't used to be the way. When you're younger, you're a bit more resilient, you can kind of go,
there are freedoms though, whether you're divorced or whether you're on your own or whether you're part of a couple or whether you've suffered a bereavement, you know, you've lost your partner through death or through mm-hmm. divorce, or you're still with your partner, there are freedoms that usually come as you get older. You know, you generally tend to have maybe the mortgage paid or nearly
paid.
A bit
more cash.
You have a bit more cash. Yeah. And your kids, if you have kids, are independent and don't need you to the same extent. So, you know, there are positives here. And you will slowly go from being kind of sad and probably a bit pessimistic about your future to seeing, you know, there are opportunities in this new life that you're going to create for yourself that you never know. You might find quite.
You're making it sound so positive. Attractive. I think I sign up.
Yes. Well, there you go. You're still in the honeymoon phase, having only got married last year.
I suppose it's just reinvention.
It's reinvention.
And this person probably thought their life was going to go a certain way,
right.
And then suddenly that's all gone, and then they have to
And it's hard to really advise somebody there, because it's hard to say, because we don't know what kind of person this is.
But it's about changing your mindset again from being the way, you know, that you do things the way you always did them, because, you know, you were a couple or whatever, so you always did things in this particular way. And now suddenly you're going to have to do things differently because you're on your own. But that can be really positive as well. You know, once you get over the fear of the unknown, if you like, and kind of embrace it a little bit, that can be quite positive. And I mean, you know, you might meet a new partner.
Yeah.
Not that you need one, but you might do.
Not necessarily, but yeah. Right, the kids around our area have been going buck wild in the run-up to Halloween and started throwing bangers through letterboxes and letting fireworks off every night. It got unbearable last week, and after I saw them throwing at one of the neighbours' dogs, I phoned the police. The problem is that I've been getting hate mail through the door since, which has been issuing threats against me. I'm pretty sure it's from one of the kids' parents who got a telling off from the Gardaí who called around the other night. It's really getting me down. Especially since I only called out of concern and didn't want to see anyone get hurt, including the kids who had thrown the damn things around in the first place. I've been living here for the last 10 years and I've never experienced anything like this. I'm getting really scared because Halloween is so close now, and I'm worried they're going to try and destroy my house. And if they do anything, their parents will do nothing about it.
This is one of those ones where, for one set of people, Halloween is just the crack. It's great fun And for other people, including dogs, Halloween is a nightmare because it's just a maelstrom of noise and pranks and callers to the door when you're trying to watch Coronation Street and you don't have any sweets in the house. I feel sorry for this person, because what this person, you know, was trying to do was misunderstood by the people who saw it happen, and now they've become a focus of ire. And at this time of the year, that also means that they're a target for all of these pranks and the stupidity that young teenagers do with throwing bangers. And if you're older and you're on your own, that's quite terrifying. It's not, you know, it's because you don't know, you know, how much it's going to escalate. I sound like really reactionary today. It's like, I like this new role. But I suppose the problem is, though, is that obviously at this time of the year, because of the nature of the stuff that's going on out there, the police, the Gardaí and the fire department are
stretched.
They're totally stretched. They've got lots going on. They don't need another call, but people are doing stuff that, you know, necessitates that. So it's a really weird one. It's hard to know what to do. I board up my doors. I turn all the lights off and I sit and I turn Netflix on and I just don't answer the door. Except for the children that know the magic knock.
Okay, well, Mr. Scrooge.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I would be, and we were talking about this outside, and Declan doesn't like Halloween and I absolutely love Halloween. But I would be very unambiguous about this. I think this woman did exactly the right thing.
She did,
I think that animal cruelty, I think, cannot and should not ever be tolerated, no matter what time of year it is. And a kid that thinks it's funny to hurt an animal, be it with a banger or with anything else, or a firework or with anything else, is a really bad sign for that kid as to how they will develop on in their lives. There is research to prove that kids who are immune to the hurt they inflict on an animal will generally have lots of problems and will be, it's a bad sign for how they will treat others, and particularly people who are vulnerable, more vulnerable than they are in the future. So I think, first of all, to say to this woman, I think it might be a woman, you did exactly the right thing in calling the guards. But you now have a problem, which I can understand as well. And I've always, like on this programme, when we've ever talked about things with neighbours, I've always kind of tried to adopt a live and let live type of thing. But obviously this is going to be a bit difficult. However, I would say to her that if it's a woman, I would say if you think you can pluck up the courage to make contact with the parents, if you know who they are, of these children or of this particular few kids, and just explain to them that you reacted from your gut instinct immediately. You were afraid that this dog was going to get hurt and you reacted quickly by ringing the guards in order to put a stop to that. And that, but you don't want to fall out, and you hope, you know, you didn't want to get any of the kids into trouble. You know, all the kind of nice things to say, and you know, it's Halloween, and you know, you can understand how kids get a bit overexcited and blah, 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 blah. And see if you can build a bridge, because, you know, if you've lived there for 10 years and presumably you don't want to have to move, so you don't want bad, you don't want this to escalate and get any worse. So I would really try and do that if you thought you could, as a way of maybe trying to diffuse, pardon the pun, the situation.
Yeah.
If you can. But it might be a bit of a long shot.
Or just tape up the letterbox and the windows and just be away for the night.
Yeah, if you can't, then that is that is because the other alternative.
Because if a kid is going to think an acceptable prank is to stick a banger down a dog's throat, that kid or that teenager is going to have no problem throwing a banger into your letterbox or into your...
the woman now. They might have been.
But I'm not trying to frighten anybody. This person's already aware of the risks, and I'm just saying that, you know, if people are going to do stupid things, what you have to do is not...
Yeah.
Is to try to protect yourself from them. Particularly because people are committing.
Do you not think there's any merit in maybe trying to build a bridge with the parents, that maybe you know, that people overreact if they feel getting at their kids? That if she knocked at the door and kind of went, look, I didn't mean to cause any trouble, I didn't want to get anybody in trouble, I was just trying to, you know, cup of tea, and maybe appeal to their better nature, that you might be able to build a bridge.
If you're the kind of parent who would come down and lay into your neighbour for intervening when a dog is being attacked, I don't know what kind of parent is then going to say, oh, come in and have some Baron Brack and we'll have a chat.
Yeah. Do I live in Disneyland?
I think it's worth a try, because you don't know. The parents might have over. But then again, if they've gone to the point of putting hate mail through your door, that's kind of sinister.
That's sinister.
Yeah,
that's,
it is.
Now, I mean, they're assuming it's the parents. It could be one of the kids.
It could be one of the kids,
It's probably more. Just going back to the woman or man who got divorced. And they're a bit sad. Tell that woman single life is great. You can be selfish with your time, space, money, etc. Life is short. She needs to write a list of things that she's put off doing for an adventure. Make the most of every day. The past is the past. Somebody else says just one word, Tinder. it's worth a go. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much. Back in a couple of minutes.